But it's come time for preaching tonight. I appreciate Dr. Mike Bagwell. He has blessed our hearts at camp meeting for many, many years. And he has been preaching mainly in the mornings for the past several years. But I felt like we ought to bring him back at night. And he's going to be preaching first each evening of this week. And it's a blessing and an honor to have God's man. He's going to come around and preach for us. And I appreciate him. You hear him gladly. Now you help him preach. Don't sit there like a statue with your arms crossed and your mouth closed. If he says something right, say amen. Talk to him. You know, that I tell them there's a lot of preachers, they want others to egg them on. And then when they're preaching, but when somebody else is preaching, they don't want to say nothing. I try to help everybody because I want somebody to help me. Amen, Brother Mike, you come around, preach to us tonight. I love you, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
You want them to run that, or you got your...
I got my time.
You got your time. Well, that'll be fine.
Let's go to the Gospel of Luke tonight. If you'll turn, please. Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to be interested in a paragraph in the 15th chapter, if you want to go ahead and locate it. Luke chapter number 15. It is in my heart in these services to bring a series of messages on the parables of our Lord. I realize there's a lot of latitude in that theme and that subject. I want to deal with each of my messages on a verse-by-verse method. But that's just where God's had my heart. And I feel like that's where he wants us to go. I'd like to preach a didactic parable one night. That means a parable that teaches us. I'd like to preach a doctrinal parable one night. That's a parable that establishes and reconfirms what we believe. I'd like to preach a parable one night on Christian service, what God expects of me as a follower of my precious Savior. But tonight, it's on my heart in Luke chapter 15. Can't preach the whole chapter. Can't preach the entire parable. Just a slice, just a section. And I'm going to call it this, for lack of a better term. I'm going to call it a celebratory parable. Isn't that a big word? Celebratory parable. What in the world does it mean? I think it means a parable that's supposed to cause us to celebrate. Now, Brother Bagwell, you can't do no celebrating. This is an old-fashioned Baptist camp. I'll say something. I got some things to celebrate tonight, thank God. In Luke chapter 15, if you will notice verse number 11, Luke 15 verse 11, that's where I feel like I need to begin. And he said, the pronoun being Jesus, he's teaching. And he said, a certain man had two sons. A certain man had two sons. Parable? How do you know it's a parable? The chapter is introduced with the words, he spake this parable unto them saying. I know we are in parabolic ground as I read to you these verses. Let me just say this. It's a little bit simplistic, I guess. If this man had two sons, it automatically means, I need a few amens. If he has two sons, it automatically means he's a father. I want to preach a little while about a father tonight. And everybody in the house, there's no biblically illiterate people here, I wouldn't think. Everybody knows he's dealing with the parable of the prodigal son. Oh, amen. That's not what I'm going to call it this evening. That is not going to be my emphasis, the prodigal son. Here's what I want to try to preach. If you want to smile at me, it'll be all right. I want to try to preach on the parable of the forgiving father. You say, well, that's a little different emphasis, and that's what I mean it to. A certain father, a certain man, had two sons. Go with me to verse 5. And the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them their living. Now y'all listen to me. And I tried to study some of the textbooks that call themselves Manners and Customs of Bible Times. And it says in one of those books written by a man named Kenneth Bailey, a brilliant work on this chapter. He said this. He said, no son in Jesus' day, no son would ever go to his daddy and ask for his part of the inheritance. That's unheard of. It is not done. You don't get the inheritance until daddy dies, till daddy has passed away. Y'all listen to me carefully. What this boy has just done is a disgrace to his father. He has just said it is tantamount. It is the same thing as saying, old man, I wish you were dead. I wish you would go ahead, kick the bucket, get out of my way. Don't love you. I just want what you've laid aside for me. That's what that boy is saying to his daddy. And it amazes me. That daddy gave him his share, that part, the boys, their part of the inheritance. You say, Brother Bagwell, how in the world are you going to apply that to me and you? I just want to tell y'all something. What that boy just did to his daddy, wishing that he were dead, I've done that and a whole lot more than that to my heavenly father. Preacher, I've abused him. I've mistreated him. I've as good as said, I wish you. In fact, can I go this far? Don't know, Father. I believe that I played a part in killing him. I believe my sins nailed him to that old rugged cross, asking that he die. And I'll never get all the verses. Preacher, do you believe that, Daddy? Let me tell you what that daddy could have done. That daddy could have yanked that kid up and said, you forget ever getting a penny of my money. Get yourself out of town. Don't ever want to lay eyes on you again. But that's not what he did. In mercy, in grace, in love, in appreciation, he gave that boy what that boy did not deserve. Oh, I don't want to talk about the prodigal son. I want to talk about a wonderful, magnanimous, merciful daddy tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know him. Thank God. He wants to, and he gave it to the boy. Got to get right back to my verses. I believe it says in verse 13, not many days after that, the younger son, he gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there he's going to waste, I think it says, waste his substance with riotous living. Far journey, far country. Y'all listen to me. The Greek New Testament, that word far, it's chora, C-H-O-R-A. What in the world does it mean? It literally means this: the greatest distance you can put from home. He wants to get as far as his feet will carry him from that father, from that daddy. He's sick and tired of them rules. He's sick and tired of plowing, working on that as far, far away as he can get. That's what's in that boy's heart. He'll waste everything his daddy gave him far, far away. Now I want to try to apply it. He loved me. He died on the old rugged cross to save sinners like me. And you know what I did? I wanted to get as far away from him as I could. I wanted to run from him. I was alienated. I was separated. I was a long way and wanted to go further. But get this, will I get an amen? He loved me still. Hallelujah. There is a British writer. His name is Francis Thompson. The boy was a dopehead, a drunkard, lost as he could be. And one day he got saved, miraculously, wondrously saved by the grace of God. And he wrote a poem. Listen to me. The name of the poem is The Hound of Heaven. The Hound of Heaven. Now, back in those days, a hound wasn't a mutt. Brother Charles, it wasn't a mangy, filthy stray. A hound was a prized possession. A hound, he is the pick of the litter. He preached about, he wrote that poem about the hound of heaven. He said, I was lost, and said, something got after me. Said, there's something chasing me. And said, it chased me out across my life. And he gets real poetic. Said, I went down to the ocean. Said, it's right behind me. I soared up to the mountains. Said, it's right behind me. Said, the faster I run, closer he came. And he said, one day, any of y'all ever been chased like that? Hallelujah. He said one day, caught up with me. And he said this, get me an amen. He said, I found out I was running from the best friend I ever had. Hallelujah. This boy wants to get far away. But man, is he making a mistake? There's a daddy that loves him. There's a daddy that'll forgive him. There's a daddy that, thank God, I want to say it again. I know that daddy tonight. Well, you know the story, and I'm not going to take a lot of time telling it to. Look at that, verse 30, wasted his substance. And verse 14, he spent all. And then a famine came to him there. Oh, can I say this tonight? When we get as far away as we think we can go, we better say amen tonight. I know a God who can send a famine. Hallelujah. Oh, preacher, we ought to be glad God did whatever he did to get our attention, to arrest me and turn me toward the south. I heard a fellow the other day say this. Never. He said, blessed cancer. He was praising God for cancer. He's a lost man. He's an atheist. He's an agnostic. Hard-hearted as I'd ever see. Had no use for God. And one day, the symptoms showed up. The medical test said, it's bad. It's terminal. It's cancer. You ain't got long to live. And he said, clear me a little place right here. He said, that got to weighing on my soul. He said, I remembered everything Mom and Daddy told me about heaven and about hell and about Jesus. He said, because of that cancer, I believe I got saved by the marvelous grace of an almighty God. Could I get an amen? Blessed cancer. I'd rather go to heaven with cancer than die and go to hell with a perfect bill of health, ladies. God sent a famine to that boy, and that famine began to get, I can't preach it. He ends up in the hog pen, slopping hogs. I want to show you something. It's real neat. He wanted to get as far away from his daddy, Korah, as he could. He joined himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the swine. Look it up when you get home. That verb join is kalao, K-A-L-L-A-O. It is a Greek verb that means to get close to. It means to get as close to as you can. It literally is a word that means to glue together. He want nothing to do with God. He wanted to get as far away. But guess what? You run from God, you're probably going to get, hope I get an amen. You're probably going to get glued to the devil if you keep that up. You're probably going to get situated in this old dirty hell-bound world. Oh, he ends up slopping hogs. He feigned. The word means he craved it. The word means epithumeo. He lusted after that hog slop. He would have eaten it, but oh, one day, hope I get a little help here, he came to himself. Thank you. I'm reading some studying about Satan, Lucifer. I want to preach a series of sermons out of Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, the son of the morning, Lucifer, the angel that fell from heaven and started all of this mess of sin. And the author kept using this term, and I merely put it in here so somebody will write it down and think about it. Sin. Said sin always brings, quote, the law of unintended consequences. I want to say that again. Unintended consequences. Do you reckon David knew all that's going to happen that night with Bathsheba? Do you reckon Eve knew all that's going to happen when she looked at that forbidden tree? Ladies and gentlemen, sin, help me, does have wages, I'm telling you. But the boy came to himself. Erkomai Ice Autos. He came to himself. I'm not going to preach that. I'm going to say something about the daddy here in just a minute or two. But I'm guessing that's this. Any of y'all remember when you came to yourselves? Anybody remember when the Holy Ghost of God showed up in your life, began to work in your life, arrested your attention? Hallelujah. I'm glad God's in the sensifying business. Hallelujah. I'm not even sure sensifying is a word, but I just made it. Made me come to myself. And then, he says, my daddy has got hired servants. Said, my daddy feeds them, and there's bread enough and to spare. The Greek means running over. By the way, daddy gave that rascal his inheritance, part of the will, but it didn't seem to hurt daddy. He still got fields. He still got servants. Could I make an announcement? He's still doing all right. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm telling you something. I sure am thankful I got a God in heaven tonight. He's not broke. Heaven's not in recession. God's not lacking a thing. He can still do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Hallelujah to his good name. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll arise and I'll go to my father. Now, y'all watch this. He rehearses his speech. He's going to get down every word of it. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. What would be next? And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Seems like something's missing. Make me as one of your hired servants. He has decided what he's going to say when he sees his daddy. And he arises and he starts heading home. I love that word. He arises. He gets up. The root, the word is anastasia. Anastasis. What in the world does it mean? I'm just itching to show you. It means laying down. It means as good as dead. Daddy said, it's my son who is dead and he's alive again. It means to be like that. And then it means all of a sudden somebody help me. All of a sudden to pop up, to stand up. It means to be resurrected. Hallelujah. He arose, came to himself, and he arose. And I got to thinking, pondering this message. It seemed like God had laid on my heart. The only reason I can get up is because I know somebody 2,000 years ago, and he got up. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe he is laying in a grave? He was there dead, been dead 3 days and 3 nights. It's not Easter, but I'm going to say it anyway. And up from the grave, he arose. Hallelujah. Anastasia, glory. I'll arise and I'll go to my father. And I'll say his little spiel that he has memorized. Y'all okay? I got just a few more minutes, but I want you to let's see. Oh, yeah, 20, verse 20. You'll notice it. And he arose, and he came to his father, but that's called a conjunction. But it's called It's called an adversarial or a contrasting conjunction. So far, it's been prodigal son. It's been sin. It's been hog pens. It's been down, down, down. By the way, that's the direction the devil will take you if you let him. Down, down, down. But something's fixing to happen. Says that daddy. But he's heading up the road. That daddy looks and sees him. That daddy beholds him. Hope I get an amen. A long way off. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Brother Bagwell, I don't know about that. How long's that boy been gone? We really don't know. Don't you reckon that daddy would have tied by now? Most daddies would have. But that daddy's looking, that daddy. Oh, could I make? It'll take a minute. I want to show you the context of this parable. What does that mean? The setting in which the Holy Ghost locates. Luke 15 opens up this way. Jesus accepted the publicans and the sinners. He hung around with the publicans and the sinners. Can't take too long here. Publicans, that's them turncoat traitor Jews that work for the Roman government. They absolutely defraud that. And sinners, that's the word for the low down ones. That's the prostitutes. That's the thieves. That's the filth of the filth of. And they're all hanging around Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to murmur. Murmur. Your English teacher will remind you that is an onomatopoeic word. What does that mean? Onomatopoeic. It sounds like its definition. Everybody knows what murmur means. Complain. Grumble. To be dissatisfied. Listen to it. Murmur. Now I'm not doing that right. Murmur, 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 murmur. Oh, they're running him down. They're murmuring about our say. And what are they saying? Get ready. Here it is. This man receiveth sinners. That man right there, he receiveth sinners. He hangs around that trash. He seems to love the publicans and the saints. That's the context. That's the context of this parable. And that daddy, he sees that boy coming home. And in my mind, I hear the Holy Ghost saying, get me an amen. This man still receives sinners. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad. I know a Father in heaven. I know an Almighty God. He's still receiving sinners. Even them old boys ended up in the hog pen. He sees us on our way home. Forget that prodigal son business. The parable of the forgiven daddy. Of the amazing daddy. 20, verse 20. I got to just peck a little bit and get to verse 24. He's great. Well, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Let me put all that in one act, one movement. First, all the books will say this. It was against etiquette. It wouldn't happen. You'll never see an older Jewish man run. They don't do it. It will rob them of their dignity. It is an absolute no-no. This daddy's already been shamed by his boy. He's already, Brother Larry, he's already the laughingstock of the community. And so I just can't imagine he'd cut loose running. There's another reason they don't advise running when you're old. You could hurt yourself. But then there's a third reason. They didn't wear breeches. Like we do. They didn't have trousers with long legs and a belt. They wore loosely flowing robes. Could I get a nod from somebody? Y'all are with me. You ever thought about what happens if a man cuts loose running in excitement with that kind of a garb on running down the hill? Why, preacher, it could nearly get, what would you say, improper. It could nearly get immodest. But I don't know how to explain it. I just know that daddy saw that boy coming home. He got so excited. He forgot propriety. He forgot dignity. He forgot somebody might laugh at him. And he cut loose. He cut loose after that boy fell on his neck, kissed him, and thank God, welcomed him home. Hallelujah. That's the only time. There may be others. That's the only time I can find in the Bible where a picture of God the Father ever gets in a hurry. Why would God ever get in a hurry? He's the timekeeper. He made the clock. He'd never been like, why would he get in a hurry? I'll tell you why. Help me out. To receive an old setter boy coming home. Not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. I might lose my exact verse count, but I promise you it's in there. He said, bring me the best robe. Bring me the best robe. Want to put it on the boy that's come home. Best robe. Just think with me a minute. Last time we saw him, he's slopping hogs. What do you reckon he was wearing? Rags. Stinking. Can I say that? Filthy. Right. I wouldn't be surprised, Jamie, there wasn't a hole or two in his garment. I mean, that boy said, bring me the best robe. Oh, excuse me. I got to celebrate a minute. Oh, when I came to him, I should say, when he came to me, oh, was I in a mess. I was wearing the filth of this world, but guess what I'm wearing tonight? I'm wearing the robes of the righteousness of the darling Son of God. Hallelujah. Debbie and I, we got into Atlanta to preach one night, and we got there early. Us wheeled in a shopping center. It was near the church. You know the church. You know where it was. And said, honey, we got 15, 20 minutes. Let's just go in and browse. Got to tell this quickly. We did. I didn't pay no attention. Phillips Plaza is the name of the shopping center, and the store, Saks. Can't imagine nobody naming a store Saks. Fifth Avenue. I shouldn't have gone in there as soon as I found out they didn't know how to spell sack. Say amen. Amen. I have no idea how to spell it. So happened we walked in the men's department. I saw hundreds of suits of clothes, coats. And I went over there and I was tactful. I didn't like a country bumpkin. I didn't pick it up and do like that. 8,995, one suit of clothes. I gently laid the sleeve down. Something in me said, where is the local Walmart? Amen. I'm telling you, I never dreamed a suit could cost that. Could I say something real quick? I believe when he put a robe on us, them 8,995, I believe that looks like Goodwill merchandise compared to what we're wearing tonight, purchased by the blood of the darling Son of God. Put a robe on that boy. That is some more father. Can I get an amen? Amen. Said, I want a ring on his finger. He probably had a ring when he left, but he hocked it or something, and he on a ring on his finger. And the word that is used there, it's a beautiful verbiage. It means this, get this, signet ring. What's a signet ring? don't know if I can explain it, but it's got Daddy's emblem. It's got Daddy's logo in it. And oh, you got a new, if you're downtown, you're running a little short of cash, it don't matter. You take Daddy's ring, hit that wax on that contract, and honey, could I get, it is paid in full. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're getting that or not. Thank God when I got saved by the grace of God. Hey, I got a God who can supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, thank God. My Father's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's rich in love. He can do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Hallelujah for that ring. Ask and it'll be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you.
Yeah, tell them, preacher. Amen.
Said something. Said, I want some shoes. I want some shoes on that boy's feet. Oh, I'm going to tell you, just a minute's worth, if I can, about them shoes. Everybody knows that I'm just. Slaves did not wear shoes. There is not a record in the whole Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had upwards of 60 million slaves. Not a record of one of them ever owning a pair of shoes. Oh, I'm forgetting something. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And here's what's supposed to come out next. It's all programmed. Make me. Is one of thy hired servants. But guess what? You can read it again yourself. When he got to Daddy, he didn't get it all out. All he said was, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called. He didn't get to the slave part. He didn't get to the labor part. Can I say this? I don't know if you... He got forgiven for he got through praying. Hallelujah to God. And he got more than he asked for. He got more than he ever realized. I'm still learning things that happened to me the day I got saved. Hallelujah. Put some shoes on that boy's feet. I got to thinking about that Asher summer that I preached years ago several times. God said, I'm going to give Asher shoes of brass. He inherited rocky territory. He inherited land that would rip a human being. And God give him shoes and strength for the day. Could I make an announcement if you'll say, we are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thank God for our shoes. The fatted calf. I won't leave out the fatted calf. As a man told me the other day, this is a parable. I'm just talking about a parable. He said, I wouldn't preach that prodigal son stuff and try to get the gospel in. He said, there ain't no blood. There's no cross. You can't preach. I'm going to make an announcement. When they kill that fatted calf, I'm pretty sure there's some blood shed on the scene. That word fatted beats all I've ever seen. It's the word sitos, S-I-T-O-S. What does sitos mean? Grain. Grain-fed cattle. This cow ain't never had no hormones injected in it. It's not had any chemicals. Honey, this is the best of the best of the best. Could I tell you? And that cow, that cattle, that ox, that bullock, that's a picture of my Savior. That's a picture of my Savior. He died. He shed his blood. Thank God this boy can be received back home and they can have, give me an amen, they can have a banquet now. Kill the fatty calf. I'm through except for this. In Psalm 22, great psalm of Jesus dying on the cross. After he's paid our sin debt, the psalm changes mood. It shifts gears. And he says, soon as the blood atonement's been made, he said, the meek are going to eat and be satisfied. And we're going to praise you for all. Are y'all getting that? Amen.
Because of Calvary, I can eat. Because of Calvary, I can dig in. I want to make me a little room, son. I want to make an announcement. I've been eating from the cross of Calvary since the minute I got saved. Thank God. A.C. Dixon, who pastored in London, wrote a magisterial book called The Glories of the Cross. He preached 25 weeks on Calvary. They'd been people eating off the cross. Hey, been eating off of it, long way from getting through. I think we'll enjoy it for all of eternity. It's a parable, that's all it is. It's a celebratory parable about a loving, forgiving Heavenly Father. One more amen, and Brother Steve's coming. Aren't you glad you know Him tonight? Hallelujah to His name.
Ain't that a blessing?